Well, you may have seen pictures on the news last night and in the papers today of the first of a number of protests planned in Australia about the plight of Coptic Christians in Egypt. Coptic Christians constitute a very ancient branch of the Christian church, which began in Egypt, and they make up about 10% of Egypt's population. But since the so-called revolution that's swept over the last few months through northern Africa and the Middle East, this community has come under great pressure, some might say persecution. 12 of them have been murdered, 232 wounded. Churches have been burned or blown up. Coptic Christians are pleading for help from the United Nations and the rest of the world, including specifically Australia. Petition is being organised to send to the United Nations. It now has 7 million signatures. You may have family in Egypt in this community. You may have been following a worldwide Facebook campaign Coptic Christians have spearheaded. You may know of people suffering there. You may have been at yesterday's protest. We'd love to hear the stories you're aware of. Give us a call on 1300 40 2020 or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. So what is all this about and why should Australia be concerned? Joining us now on the line is Amir Shahata, one of the leaders of the protest movement here in Australia and Deputy Chairman of the Australian Coptic Movement. Amir, welcome to Open House.
Good evening, Lee.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Can I begin by asking you to perhaps paint a brief picture of the Coptic Christian community in Egypt, their history, and their place in society there?
Okay, Lee, the word Coptic means Egyptian, derived from the Greek word Egyptos. From the 1st century till the mid-7th century, the Egyptians were all Christians.
Yes.
Then the Islamic Arab armies conquered Egypt in 640 A.D., and since then and through along the centuries, many Egyptians were forced to convert to Islam as they could not pay a hefty tax imposed by the Islamic rulers back then called the jizya, which was basically a tax paid by non-Muslims to Muslim rulers in order to protect them. As you've said today, Egypt's population is about 85 million, 10% are Christians, who today we refer to as Copts. So Copts basically are the Christians of Egypt. However, as I've said, the actual word has no religious connotations or background.
Okay. Amir, what initially started in recent times, the numbers of very serious outbreaks of violence involving your community in Egypt?
Yes. Well, for the last 40 to 50 years in general, attacks by Islamic extremist groups have been increasing and continuing on the rise, especially during the reign of the former President Mubarak. President Sadat was the one who restarted the awakening of these extremist groups after they were oppressed by Nasser in the 50s. After the so-called the 25th of January revolution this year and the fall of the Mubarak regime, the army released thousands of Islamic extremists that were behind bars for decades. The majority of those are referred to the Salafists or referred to the Salafi movement, the most extremist and rigid forms of Islamic ideology, and they're very closely related to the Wahhabism in Saudi Arabia. With the current mayhem in Egypt, with no security or police presence at all, no law enforcement strategies by the Egyptian army, those Salafists have basically been given the green light by the Egyptian army, as you said, to kill Copts, burn Coptic properties and businesses and churches. And they could actually be responsible for the disappearance of more than 30 Coptic women since the revolution.
So while the rest of the world has been saying what an amazing thing this revolution has been, it's not nearly been that for your community.
Well, it's the revolution basically it was for democracy, but we are in the fear of this revolution being hijacked at the moment by the Islamic extremists, and unfortunately, the Egyptian army, who's in charge at the moment, and the interim government are not doing anything about it. Whether they have a hidden agenda, whether the army have other intentions of holding the rule and making it into a military government, that's well to be seen. If they want to rule the country now, they should tell us and not on the expense of the blood of the Copts.
Amir, I'm bound to ask this question, as it has been reported. Is it true that some of your members of your community or people who were defending them were also involved in some of these battles with rocks, sticks, Molotov cocktails?
Okay. Let me just explain something. Salafi clerics, since the revolution has started, they've been coming on TV and in mosques, and they've been spreading rumors that cops hide weapons in their churches. These, of course, are false claims. And these false claims can inflame any situation. Also, rumors, they've been spreading rumors of cops kidnapping women who want to convert to Islam by force. That's absolutely nonsense. All these false claims are against our Christian teachings, and for the last 2,000 years, cops have never possessed any weapons in the churches. Our history and teachings say that. As you've mentioned, over the last, 10 days ago, Salafis stormed into a church in a Cairo suburb of Imbaba. They have burned 3 churches. 12 are dead. The Coptic youth surrounded the church, defending the church. They had to protect themselves by throwing rocks and stones against the Salafists who had guns, rifles, knives and swords. And all of this you can see on YouTube.
Amir, one of your bishops here in Australia, Bishop Anbar Surreal from Melbourne, has actually met with the Prime Minister Julia Gillard and indeed the Foreign Minister Kevin Rudd. Let's hear some of what he said to them.
Well, I spoke to them in general about the situation of the Coptic Christians in Egypt and the persecution and lack of human rights that they are suffering. And also I spoke to them about how this has been escalating in the last 30 years, and now even after the revolution, the situation has become worse, and the attacks against our people and against our churches has become really unbearable.
And what was their response?
Well, I think they were very sympathetic and understandable to what was happening. The foreign minister in particular, has made representations in Cairo to the then Minister of Foreign Affairs and to the then President Mubarak. And I think, they're trying to assist as much as possible, but I think, a lot more can be done.
What would you like them to do?
Well, I would like them to make a representation to the United Nations so that a resolution can be passed to protect minorities in predominantly Islamic countries. So not just Coptic Christians, but there is other Christians in the Middle East that are suffering and being persecuted against as well. So I think something like this would be very positive. I'm also asking them to call in the Egyptian ambassador in Canberra and tell him that the Australian people and the Australian government is not happy about how Christians are being treated at the moment, and that, he needs to speak to the Egyptian authorities and tell them that, the international community is not happy about this persecution that's happening for these people, and I feel that I need to be a voice for the voiceless, for these people that have not got anyone to help them, and they're crying out for help and going on these protests, but the world is really ignoring the Coptic problem at the moment, and it's very sad to see that.
Bishop Anwar Surreal there, and again, if your family and friends have had contact with or knowledge of what's going on in Egypt with the Coptic Christian community, we'd love to hear your stories and explain to our audience why they should be aware of the situation there. Give us a call from anywhere around Australia, 1300 40 2020, or post on our Open House Community Facebook page. Amir Shahata is joining us, the Deputy Chairman of the Australian Coptic Movement. Also on the line, Michael, who was at the protest in Sydney yesterday. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening, Lee. How are you going?
Tell us how that protest went.
The protest went pretty well organized. A lot of people did attend, 2,000. As being Christian Coptic, there is a lot of persecution. It does say in the Bible, love your enemies. We do love our enemies, but at the end of the day, it's coming to a point where they're not stopping. They're not even accepting the peace. And what saddens me the most, that even we did not have, knowing there's a big 2,000 to 5,000 people in this protest, we didn't have a single representation from the Gillard government. No one even cared. State did. A lot of them showed up, and that was fantastic to acknowledge, but the others didn't. And that was a bit of sad to know that Australia didn't care that much as our government.
Why don't you think the government does?
If they didn't even, I won't say Julia Gillard would show up herself, but she didn't even send a representation. And I think the point where Christianity, as in total, she doesn't really care about it. And that is the sad bit we think about that point.
Michael, thanks for joining us. Amir Shahata joins us again. Amir, can you describe for us what the members of your community are feeling in Egypt at the moment, how they're feeling about their position and future in this new and very different emerging society?
The Copts in Egypt at the moment feel a sense of uncertainty and insecurity due to the absolute lack of security in the street and the collaboration of the army, who unfortunately also has been infiltrated by Islamic extremists. We as Copts are calling for a civil, secular government to rule Egypt. That's basically for the reason of those Salafi movements and the Islamic extremist groups. Their main ideologies are against democracy, and that was the basis for the 25th of January revolution. For three main reasons, they're against democracy. They believe that the leader should be chosen by Allah and not by the people. Second, they are against a woman being a leader or a president. And thirdly, they're against a non-Muslim being a leader or a president over a Muslim. All these three ideologies is directly against democracy. And as I said, the intent of the aim of the main revolution was democracy. As we Australians here, we don't want to be, we made it very clear, we don't want to Sharia law to be applied here in Australia. The same, the Copts in Egypt don't want any religious government to enforce upon them Sharia law. Imagine with all these troubles in Egypt at the moment towards the Copts and for the last 40 to 50 years, how much worse it would be if an Islamist government take over, whether it is the Salafi movement or the Muslim Brotherhood.
Amir, I might just get you to hold on the line again there and talk to Mary, who was also at the protest yesterday. Hello, Mary.
Hi, how are you going?
Thanks for calling. What was your experience there yesterday?
Look, that was the second time I went to the protest. And the reason why we go is because I guess we're a voice to the voiceless. And my whole family migrated to Australia back in 1990 because we wanted to leave what was happening in Egypt, but the rest of our family is there. So we're all affected directly as well as indirectly. And I guess, you know, if we're not here to, you know, represent them, who is? So.
Okay, Mary, thanks for calling in. Amir Shahata, can I end our conversation by asking you this? Do you agree that, I suppose at the end of the day, the solution or the resolution of this has to be one that comes from within Egypt, regardless of what the rest of the world thinks or does? Are you confident that that resolution can be found and that your community does have a viable and secure and peaceful future there?
We as Copts have been calling for specifically for the last 10 to 20 years for the Coptic issue to be resolved for once and for all within Egypt. The previous governments, including the government of the former President Mubarak, they have requested for Coptic activists within Egypt and from all over the world to go to Egypt and ask for their basic rights and to deal with the Coptic cause and the Coptic issue within Egypt. We have done that. Many Coptic activists from all over the world went to Egypt and held conferences. Speaking today, if the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces, who are in charge and of Egypt at the moment, if they want to solve this issue for once and for all perpetrators of crimes, whether they're against Copts or non-Copts, should be arrested and face the full enforcement of the law. Second, justice must be served in all cases. Not a single conviction against Copts, against crimes against Copts have been implemented. The military has issued over the last week or so that they will be passing a new law of convicting any individual for inciting religious hatred or discrimination. Whether such a law will see the day of light or not, what remains to be seen. And that's why we have come to the point that we are calling for international protection for the Copts. However, I would like to make it very clear that the Copts refuse any military intervention or occupation of Egypt. We don't want Egypt to be like Iraq, but we are open to all other options in accordance with the United Nations human rights resolutions and the resolutions of the Security Council. At the moment, as you have said, there's a petition to the United Nations, the International Court in Lahai, and the Security Council for international protection for the Copts, and we've collected more than 7.1 million signatures as of yesterday.
Okay.
If our own army and government cannot protect us from those Islamic extremist groups, we have no option but to turn to the international community for protection. So it's all in the hands of the current military, and the ball is in the court, as they say.
Amisha Harter, very much indeed appreciate your time this morning, this evening. Thanks very much for joining us on Open House.